the last of the I am statements that we're going to look at that Jesus made. Now, let me just say this one is not chronologically the last one. In fact, it's chronologically the second last one. Daniel took on the last one chronologically last week. But that statement where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, falls within the conversation that I'm going to take this last one from. The reason I wanted to put this one last is that I believe in its totality, this is the biggest and strongest statement that Jesus really makes. He has said that, you know, he has identified himself as completely co-equal with God in his statements, you know, that he is the bread of life, that he is the light of the world, that he is the good shepherd. In all of these statements, the I am statements, Jesus knowingly identifies himself as completely co-equal with God. And he's doing that again in this statement, but he is also inviting us to complete recognition and complete dependence on him. This is one of the strongest, but actually one of the most personal statements that Jesus makes. In John 14, 6, if you go to that verse and just read it as a standalone verse, Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And standalone, that's a strong statement. In fact, when I read that as a standalone, and often the way it's treated, it's sort of one of those, you picture it as one of those big declaration moments. You know, it's almost a loud Sermon on the Mount kind of moment that Jesus would stand there and say to anyone who would care to hear, I am the way. And I am the truth, and I am the life, and it's big. And in fact, often that's the way it's treated. This verse is often treated as a doctrinal platform for battleground. This is one where we stand tall on. And we say, man, people want to argue the doctrine. We want to argue, is there other ways? How many ways up the mountain are there? Surely this is, you know, there's other things to talk about. But we know that Jesus said, I am the way and I am the truth and I am life. Have you ever heard it preached like that? That becomes almost this battle cry moment. That's not what you're catching here. In fact, it's completely the opposite. It's actually a quiet moment. It's actually Jesus with his closest group of friends. And it's actually a very personal presentation and invitation of this truth. It is not just declaration. It is actually an invitation in these words. And so often we like to find things that, you know, that will validate us en masse. We like those loud moments. We like the ones that we stand on and build on. The way, the truth, the life. But you actually have to lean in and take more notice when you come to these moments where you can almost tangibly feel Jesus' breath in this moment and go, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And to catch the intimacy of this moment, you've got to look at the whole thing that is happening. You see, if you go back to chapter 13, this is Jesus' final meal. We talk about it as the Last Supper. It's the meal celebrating the Passover with his friends right before he's on his way to the cross. And in fact, he's just told them all, someone here is about to betray me. And that stirs enough in that little intimate group that they're like, whoa, really? Who? Who? Is it one of us really? Is it me? And there's this murmur that goes through, and then Jesus actually ushers Judas out to go and do what he needs to do, which is to sell Jesus. It's to betray him. And you come to verse 31 of chapter 13, and we read this. When Judas was gone, Jesus said this, now it's time for the Son of Man to be glorified. And God's going to be glorified in him. And then if you jump to verse 33, Jesus says this, my children, I will be with you only a little while longer. And you'll look for me, just as you've heard me say to the Jewish leaders, to the Pharisees, and I'll tell you again now, where I am going, you cannot come. What? Can you feel the tension that's just erupted in this room? That you have this group of 11. Jesus has actually ushered Judas out because Judas is actually not a part of this conversation. It says there, when he was gone, Jesus' timing is deliberate. When Judas is gone, Jesus then says. And so this is his close circle of friends there. And he says, I'm about to go. You can't come with me. Well, hang on a second. Let's just backtrack 3 years. Because actually, wasn't it you, Jesus, that came to us? And you invited us to follow you? Isn't it you that told us to leave our families and our fishing nets and our jobs and our identities and our inheritance and everything else to follow you? Wasn't it you that called me from the tax collector's table? Wasn't it you, Jesus, who came and found me when I was sitting under a tree? Wasn't it you, Jesus, that said, how about I follow you and now you're the one who's quitting? That's the tension in this room right now. Jesus is saying to them, after they have just come into Jerusalem under the most incredible pomp and circumstance, that the streets are lined, people are laying down their clothes and people are laying down palm trees and they're singing and they're declaring, here is the Son of David, here is the Messiah, here is our deliverer. Big moment, and Jesus goes, I'm out. And Peter, in that moment, he goes, Lord, hang on a second. Where are you going? And Jesus again says in verse 36 there, where I am going, you cannot follow now. You will follow one day, or you'll follow later. And Jesus is saying there, see what Jesus is about to do, he knows it. He's about to face the cross. And he must face death alone, and he must triumph over death alone. He alone was worthy to take upon himself that position, that he is going to take hell and death captivity and deliver humanity forever. No one could go with him. No one could go as an assistant, an aide, or anything else. Jesus had to face this alone, but then says to Peter, but you're going to go through it too. You're not going to accomplish what I accomplished, but you're going to go through it. You can't come with me now, but you will later. And Peter, in all his bravado, this is the moment that Peter rises up to like all the bigness that he has, everything big and internal in Peter suddenly like comes out of his mouth. And he says this, Lord, why can't I follow you now? because I will lay down my life for you. Jesus, what are you saying that you're going to go this alone? I will never leave you. I'm your right-hand man. I'm the guy that is going to be alongside you through thick and thin. I'm the one that's going to overcome with you. And Jesus looks at him and says, really? You'll lay down your life for me? No, in fact, Peter, you see, I know your end from your beginning. And you're not going to lay your life down for me now. I tell you the truth, before daybreak, before the rooster crows three times, you are going to disown me. And the air is sucked out of that room. You ever heard it said that, yeah, the grace of God in Jesus is sufficient for your past. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever you've been involved in, God knows it all and He's willing to forgive you. His grace is sufficient for your past. You ever heard that? Hello? Good. People are here. Like I was wondering for a second. It's okay. We can interact a little bit here. That's how we often hear that used. God's grace is sufficient for all your past. He can deliver you. I got some great news for you. And this absolutely grabbed me this week. When I was reading this, this took a hold of me and shook me. You know, usually by Wednesday, we're in, you know, I've been processing. You know, I'm a sort of slow cooker type processor. And I think and I read and I think and I read. And, you know, Daniel Geddes calls Wednesday full froth Wednesday. Because usually by Wednesday, you know, we're verbalizing it, we're talking it through. And I was telling him this week, like I sat him down, I'm like, dude, you gotta listen to this. You gotta hear what I just found here. And he's like, okay, Tim's got his froth on. You know, and it's like, yeah, I'm excited about this. And I want you, I pray that your ears are open to hear this. Because this is what Jesus says. You've got to listen to the whole context of this and pick out what Jesus says. Ready? Peter says, Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, you really think you're going to lay down your life for me? I know that before tomorrow morning, within hours of now, in the midst of all your bravado right now, you're going to deny me three times. And mind you, that will be on the heels of the rest of you abandoning me, running away from me, leaving me alone. It'll be me at the cross with John standing there. Where are the rest of you? It'll be after I've been betrayed. It'll be after you have pretty much in fear begun to bolt yourselves behind doors and behind closed windows for fear of your own lives. That's all that Jesus knows here in this moment of verse 38. If he knows what Peter's going to do, he jolly well knows what the rest of them are going to do. And it follows on. Ready? I'll read it again. Will you really lay your life down for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times, but do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me, because in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you, and I am going there to prepare a place for you. For who? For you who are about to abandon me, who are about to deny me, who are about to hide away in fear of your own lives on account of me. I am already going to prepare a place for you. Jesus' grace is not just enough for that which you have committed, it is enough for that which you will commit. I really like it when those good, Southern ministers say things like, "Can I get an amen?" And I've only used it once before in my life, and that was in the first service, because I still sat here in the same stunned silence. And I hope it is because you're overwhelmed with the revelation, but can I get an amen? Because this is the sort of truth that should bolster us, that we should rise up and go, "Man, I know in whom I have believed." And it is not just enough for that which I've done, and now I live in fear and in trepidation of what the future might hold for me. Jesus says, "I know you, and I know your heart, and I know your actions, and I know your intents, and I'm still preparing a place for you." That to me was like, I sat there just going, "Oh my goodness. How big is the grace of God?" And Jesus then comes on the back of that, after describing it, and Thomas, and he says in verse 4, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas goes, "Jesus, I still don't get it. In fact, I'm kind of feeling the odd man out right now." I don't know if you ever felt like that. You ever feel like, "Geez, does everyone else get this? And I'm just sitting here going, wait, hang on a second. How does that work?" That's Thomas right now. Thomas goes, "Okay, I got to speak up, because the other 10 might get it, but I'm missing something here. You're saying, I know the way? Lord, we don't even know where you're going, so how can I possibly know the way to get there?" And Jesus says this in response to Thomas, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life." Jesus doesn't look at Thomas and go, "Well, buddy, you're going to have to sort this out real quick, because I've already told you I'm out." He didn't stand on the mountaintop and declare this over everyone. Have you ever felt when someone's like standing, speaking, declaring that, "Man, maybe this isn't for you. Maybe you're not big enough for this to connect with you." Maybe you sometimes feel that when someone's standing here speaking and you're sitting in a big crowd. Listen, this is why Jesus did not just declare it in a crowd moment. He leans into his friends who need it right now. For Thomas, who's going, "Jesus, I don't even get it. You say you're going. I don't know where and I don't know how to follow you. I so want to." Peter's there going, "Man, you say I can't come with you? You know how my heart longs to be with you. I would die next to you if that's what it takes." And Jesus goes, "I hear that, but I know that you're going to fail." It's in this space where they're all just topsy-turvy, upside down, don't know which way's up. And he leans in and he goes, "Guys, I'm the way. This isn't about you getting anywhere. This is about me providing the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." You know, last week Daniel was sharing, and if you didn't hear last week's message, you got to listen to that podcast. It'd be great if we were able to sort of tag team this message, because it is the same conversation that Jesus in just a few sentences goes, "Guys, look, let me illustrate it for you. I'm the vine. You're the branches. You stay connected to me." In this same conversation, it's Jesus saying to them, you know, "Trust in God. Trust also in me." You know, it's God, the Father. The Father is in me. I am in the Father. And you are in me, and I in you. And Jesus just brings this whole, you know, ball of wax together. And he says, "It's when you are in me, when you are connected like branch into vine, producing fruit in keeping with my character, man, just hang there. You might stumble, you might fail, you might fall, you might find that you're in a space going, God, I don't get it right now. I don't get the suffering right now. I don't get the confusion right now. I don't understand the path right now. I don't understand where I find myself right now. But Jesus, you are the way. When you look at those three words that Jesus uses, the way, the truth, and the life, there is a real significance to them. That word way is an encompassing word. It doesn't just mean a path. Okay, there are words that mean just a path. But the word that Jesus chooses to use in way is both the road, but also the mode or means of traveling it. That's a message in itself. Jesus doesn't just point out the way and say, go this way, obey this way, do this way. He says, I am the means that you even get to travel that road. I am the means. I am the mode of transport. Just get connected. The word for truth is not just the word for like spoken word truth. The word that he chooses to use for truth there is this, the complete revelation or the unconcealed. What Jesus does there is he says this, I, Thomas, you don't have to fear. Peter, listen, you're going to blow it, but I'm so far ahead of you in this. You see, I am the destination. I am the way of getting there. I am your means of transport. It's me, and I am the complete, unconcealed revelation of God Himself. It's not that you have the power in yourself to accomplish any of this. It's me and the Father in you and you in us. That is so liberating. And the word for life that he uses is this word, Zoe, which means the life force or the life source, the supply, the beginning place, the headwaters of everything that flows out of life. Jesus goes, that's me. You want to walk in this life, you want to live in this life, you want to be empowered to do this life, then it's me. I'm everything you're ever going to need. Proverbs 14, 12 and 16, 25 say this, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of it is destruction. What Solomon said in those words two different times is this, you follow the natural inclinations of your heart. You live to just gratify and fulfill your own base nature. The end of it is destruction. In fact, that same end place, destruction or death, is what Jesus talks about when he says, narrow is the road that leads to life, but broad the way that leads to destruction. Broad is the way of common thinking and natural inclination. Broad is the way, and destructive is the way of just engaging whatever we feel like doing. Because the Bible says that our base nature is at enmity. It is at war with the things of God. And this is why Jesus goes, listen, it's not going to be about your willpower to just be good, just not do. It's only going to be when you are connected in me, just as Daniel said so beautifully last week, of the branches connected into the vine, of the branches connected into the tree, into the source of life. We must stay connected. How? By daily surrender. by daily humbling ourselves, by daily staying submitted, by daily, moment by moment, staying the course. Listen, Peter was about to find out how quickly things change from I want to and I will to I don't want to and I didn't. Hours. Hours. Sometimes it's minutes. Sometimes it goes from I want to, I will to what the heck am I thinking? And it's only that we continually come back and honestly grieve our independent, self-centered nature. That's what I actually really like about Peter, even though he blew it big time. The account of Peter is that he went from that place and he wept. As soon as he hears that happen, he's grieved of spirit. But Jesus further on restores him and restores him so tenderly and beautifully. John 14, verse 20, I already alluded to it, where Jesus says, it's the Father in me, I in the Father, you in me, me in you. And this is the confidence that we have when we have chosen to surrender our ways, not just tag Jesus on, not just stick a sticker on ourselves that go, I love Jesus, but means nothing to the way we live. Not just Jesus, the caboose that's going to bring up the train, but I drive the engine. No. Jesus, who we surrender our lives to, the life force of God flowing in us, producing fruits in us, in keeping with righteousness. God's life lived out in us and through us. Jesus, His life consuming everything about us. This is what we have to realize. And this honestly is the confidence. Circumstances won't always feel right. You ever been in the place where all of a sudden you're going, what's going on? God, I don't understand this. I don't understand what's just happened in my life. I don't understand what's just happened in my family. I don't understand what's just happened in my health. I don't understand what's just happened in my finances. I don't understand what's going on in this world. I'm lost right now. My head is spinning. My tail feels up. My head feels down. I don't know what's going on. And Jesus leans in and he goes, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. He's not just declaring it in a big crowd and somehow you're missing out on this. This is a personal moment that Jesus leans in to the ones he loves and he knows love him, even though they're going to lose the plot in a few hours. I am the way. Don't lose sight of it. I am the truth. Don't miss it. I am the life. Don't try and live without it. This is the moment in that upper room. You get this, we'll go through it. There might be moments like Peter where there are tears of grief and we realize, man, we missed it. But you got to lean back in and listen to Jesus go, don't let your hearts be troubled. Because where I am, I want you to be also. For I have a place with your name marked on it. Because I, not you, are the way. And I, not you, are the source of truth. And I, not you, are the source of life. This is one of the most powerful things that I think Jesus ever speaks if we can get a hold of it. It may not make sense in the immediate. This may not be the way I would have chosen things to be. But Jesus, I want you to be that way. There's a lot of things shouting at me right now, saying that they are true. But Jesus, you are the truth. And there's a lot of things telling me that they will give me a new lease on life, that they will be my pickup, that they will be my source of life. But Jesus, you are the Zoe, life source and life force, and be that life in me. The question is, are we allowing God His way? Are we in that place of surrender? Really surrender again, day by day, moment by moment. And this is where our lives meet in it. There's a way that seems right to us, to mankind, to the natural thinking, that is at war with God. But sometimes it feels more comfortable to go that route than it does to stop and surrender again and say, Jesus, I submit to you whatever road this leads, whatever way this leads, I'm trusting you. Whatever is screaming out at me that this is the truth, I'm believing that you are true. You are the revelation of God. And I'm surrendering myself to that truth. Won't always make sense. You'll feel like the air just got sucked out of the room. But Jesus leans in close. There's a song that I want to finish with, and it's a song that I really believe allows us this space for a moment. It's a song that's just called I Surrender. The first verse just says, I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life, of Zoe, of that life force living in and flowing through me. The chorus just says, and I surrender all to you. I surrender it all. I don't know if you're in a place right now that you feel head down, tail up. You don't know why things are the way they are. Maybe you made some decisions that seemed right to you, but you feel like you're headed for destruction. Maybe you're in a runaway moment. Maybe you're in a denial moment. Maybe you're somewhere here. Maybe you've just come to a place that you kind of just become numb. You need that life again. This is the place where you just go, Lord, I surrender. I surrender everything. The moment we start to do that, you start to get a little checklist going, what about, what about, what about, what about? And to every one of those, what about this? You got to come back with Jesus. You said that you are the way. And you are the truth. And you are the life. And be that in me right now. Be that in me right now, that you make the way through this. You know what? You may have to remind yourself of that again this afternoon. You may need to remind yourself of that tomorrow morning when you're on your way to work or to school or to face someone you have to face. You may have to remind yourself the moment you walk out this door and you get in the car with that one that you're married to and you're struggling with today. Jesus leans right into that chaos. Right into it. He goes, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Trust in God. Jesus says, trust also in me because I guarantee you that I've gone ahead of you and I stay ahead of you. And find your rest in me. Lord, please. Meet us in this. Meet us in this huge but personal statement that you made. You know our lives. You know the things we're facing and the things we will face. You know our moments from now and our hours from now and our weeks from now. But God, you know those whose hearts are toward you. Your word says you search us out that you might strengthen us. And so right now, God, I choose to turn my heart to you and say, have your way in me. And you this morning, you might want to stand and declare this or sit quietly and internalize it. You may want to kneel down. You may just want to find your own space. But this is your moment to look at what do you do with what Jesus just said. Do you stand off and still just go, you know what, I'm going to be my way in this. I'm going to sort this life out. Or are you going to surrender it? Don't take it lightly. But to say that your way is actually going to be better denies that Jesus is the way. Lord, come. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our moments, you know the next hours, you know the next days. And I thank you that where our hearts are set upon you, where our desire is you, Lord, you will be that life source to us that enable us to walk in your ways, that God will lead us, will carry us, will continue to shape us. But Lord, your grace that goes behind and your grace that goes before secures us. And I'm so grateful for that this morning. And Jesus, for me, I just, in a heart of surrender, say to you, Lord Jesus, you are my way. And you are the truth of my life. And you are the source of my life. And God, I just simply want to walk in that all the days that you would give me. And I pray, Lord, that just as you spoke over your friends there, you said, Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust you. Trust in God. May we find this morning that there is a rest, that God, you will accomplish all that you determined to do in us and through us to the glory of your name. And I thank you for that promise, and that you are the provider, and you are our great reward. Thanks. Amen.